Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich from Crime Talk. Thanks for watching. A busy docket today. First, the court issues some new orders in the Chad Daybell matter. Second, Suzanne Morphew's brother comes to town looking for his sister. Third, police seek videos from businesses surrounding the hotel where Barry Morphew stayed. Maybe a little, too late. Fourth, Rittenhouse will challenge extradition, a very unusual move. A work man cave, but is it illegal? A missing pregnant woman has been located. Don't like the court sentence? Run. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day and a recap for our contestants for the dumb criminal contestant of the week. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich. This is Crime Talk. Thanks for watching. Now, we had an abbreviated Crime Talk yesterday because I had to go do lawyer stuff. And you know what? Some people you just can't make happy. I actually had somebody leave a comment saying, oh, lawyer stuff must be where he goes and has lunch or something or talks on the phone and his paralegal does all the work. Well, actually not. It was visiting with my client who's looking at spending the rest of his life in custody. Kind of important, and he had to make some big decisions. So when I say I got to do lawyer stuff, it really is lawyer stuff. Now, if you haven't done so already, please hit that subscribe button. Hit that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. And as always, leave me a comment below. Now, the court has issued some orders as it relates to the hearings that are coming up for Chad Daybell. Now, the Supreme Court in Idaho, like courts in most jurisdictions, has issued a lot of emergency orders and limited access to courthouses because of the public health care crisis, the pandemic, right? We're all dealing with it. We're all appearing by phone, video. It's frankly really convenient when you only have to show up for a 3-minute hearing and you didn't have to drive across town for 45 minutes. I am loving that aspect of it. But it is very difficult to do hearings via WebEx. It just loses something doing it via WebEx. I'm not exactly sure what all the dynamics are other than when you're in a courtroom and actually questioning a witness. There seems to be much more seriousness taken to the proceedings when witnesses are placed under oath and sitting in a chair next to the judge. Now, so what has the judge decided to do in the Chad Daybell matter? Well, there's a hearing set for October 29th regarding the motion to dismiss, as well as a hearing set on November 24th, 2020, regarding the motion for change of venue. Now, the court has said that I have considered the Supreme Court's orders as it relates to this, but each judge can exercise their own discretion. And the court says that, hey, the preliminary hearing in this case was multiple days, and you can watch because we've covered it all, and I provided, I thought, some pretty good analysis of it. You can watch those videos. But there was a multiple day hearing with several witnesses and considerable amount of evidence that was actually presented to the court, and the motion to dismiss will likely reference much of that evidence. And the court concludes that in order to effectively manage the hearing and prevent possible undue prejudice to either party, that the in-person hearing is necessary. And that's always a good thing, particularly on motions of great importance like we are having in this particular matter. The court basically made the same findings as it related to the change of venue, and therefore the court then goes on and states that, yeah, we'll have plexiglass installed between the benches and witnesses, and everyone's going to be okay. We're going to be just fine, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be just fine. And so that's one of the orders. The other order is, guess what? It's still going to be televised. So we will be able to watch the proceedings on our own and make our own call as whether the motion to dismiss should be granted or the change of venue. I know it's early. Leave me a comment below on whether you think a motion to dismiss should be granted. Was there really enough evidence? We'll see if Chad DeBell's attorney, Mr. Pryor, can come up with enough good argument to convince the judge. Don't think it's going to happen, but let me know what you think. Next on the docket, Suzanne Morphew's brother has come to town. That's right. Suzanne Morphew is the woman who was reported missing on Mother's Day, May 10th, after leaving her home, allegedly going on a bike ride. Well, Suzanne Morphew's brother, Mr. Andrew Moorman, has flown in from Indiana, and he will begin and organize a five-day search in the mountainous areas where his sister was last seen. Their goal is to have 1,000 people that can fan out and search the areas and look for anything that would lead to something of evidentiary value regarding the disappearance of Suzanne Morphew. Now, Mr. Morphew doesn't believe that he expects to find his sister alive. He originally hoped that that would be the case, but given the fact that it has been such a long time since her disappearance, he sounds like, unfortunately, has given up hope. But his biggest fear is not finding anything at all. Now, the Chaffee County Sheriff's Department has stated that they can't lead the new search effort because of liability issues. You know, you can't have civilians around there on a government-organized search, because if they did, they could sue the sheriff for not taking proper precautions, like, I don't know, putting up handrails when climbing down mountains and things like that. But, you know, the lawyers ruin everything. Mr. Moorman has said that a search team found evidence near the Morphew residence on Thursday, but he couldn't go into specifics, and he said that the Colorado Bureau of Investigations, as well as the Sheriff's Department, were actually processing this new evidence. Mr. Moorman didn't want to get too excited about it and really didn't want to talk about it because it really could just be nothing. Barry Morphew, the husband of Suzanne Morphew, you would think would be out patrolling and assisting in the search, but according to Mr. Moorman, he said that he ran into his brother-in-law yesterday when they were apparently crossing paths on the mountain, and we found evidence that he was out hanging trail cams and he had a shotgun on his shoulder and warned us not to go any further because they were about to enter onto his private property. So it doesn't sound like Barry Morphew is going to be participating in the search for his wife. It could just be because maybe there's a family disagreement, or it could also be that maybe he knows that there's nothing to go search for. We don't really know, but obviously we give everyone the presumption of innocence until and if they are found guilty or plead guilty in a court of law. Now, Mr. Moorman has his own theories, and he believes that his sister was in fact abducted. He doesn't think that she ever got on her bike, and he speculates that she died probably Saturday and that she was hidden away somewhere Saturday night. Mr. Moorman further went on to say that this was in fact domestic abuse. Mr. Moorman, and there's a lot of other YouTube channels out there, you have to be careful. You cannot go around accusing people of serious crimes and not expect some sort of repercussions if in fact you're wrong. Now, we obviously give everyone the presumption of innocence, and we talk about the facts. We try not to get into theories that cannot be supported by the facts. And there's a lot of people out there, particularly on YouTube, that are saying lots of things that could result in someone getting sued. And let me give you an example of what that could look like. Remember this guy? That's right. He's one of the Louisville Police Department officers, Sergeant Jonathan Mattingly. Well, guess what? He intends to file civil lawsuits against those who have called him a murderer for his role in a fatal shooting of Breonna Taylor. Imagine that, ladies and gentlemen. Now, Mr. Todd McMurty is representing Officer Mattingly, and he put up a video that shows Officer Mattingly being driven away in the truck bed after he was shot at Breonna Taylor's apartment on March 13th. And he says they called him a murderer when all he did was defend himself. Well, guess what? The Courier Journal, Mr. McMurray sent them a letter stating, "We represent Mr. Mattingly, and guess what? With regard to affirmative claims he has against people who called him a murderer, these statements are defamatory and actionable." He said that the intent was to file civil lawsuits related to those statements. So, ladies and gentlemen, newspapers, the TV reporters, the talking heads may get up there and state that they think somebody has done something wrong. Guess what? These people that say these types of things without being able to back it up and say that here are the charges, here's a conviction, you face defamation suits. You better be right. And I know a lot of people like to get, maybe they get a little too far over their skis when it comes to these things because they get excited and they get emotional, but you could really be facing civil action against you for these statements. These people are not public figures in the sense of the fact that they are not politicians. They are not actors. It is a much lower standard of proof. So if someone can be represented by an attorney such as Lynn Wood, who wins a lot of cases as it relates to defamation, and I assure you those cases probably are settling in the high six and low seven figure marks. So people, be careful out there. Choose your words wisely. In other Suzanne Morphew news, guess what? The police now think that it would be important to look at video, if it was available, as it related to the hotel where Barry Morphew was residing on the alleged date of the alleged disappearance of Suzanne Morphew here in Broomfield, Colorado. Good thinking there, police, but a little too late. Suzanne Morphew went missing in May. We are now into late September. 4 months have passed. Unless somebody has a video system, a DVR system that is so big that they can store anything they want, it's not going to be there after close to 5 months. Most video systems, 15 to 30 days at the high end before the data is re-recorded over. You would have thought that maybe the police, when they were checking out Barry Morphew's story about being in Broomfield, that they would have asked for some video at the hotel as well as the surrounding businesses to see if there was anything that looked suspicious in any way. Now they just look like they dropped the ball, which of course is the complaint that Barry Morphew has had with the police. And even Suzanne Morphew's brother shown a little bit of animosity towards the sheriff's department and the handling of their investigation. Let's see if something comes up. Either way, we want the truth. We want the facts so that hopefully we can get the right person responsible for Suzanne Morphew's disappearance, if in fact that is the case. Let's take a quick recess. Please go to crimetalksearch.com. Check out and sign up for a background subscription service. Yes, there is a small nominal fee, but guess what? You can cancel at any time. But when you sign up, you can anonymously search as many people as you want to. And that report that's generated while you wait, that you can print out, that you can touch, you can feel, highlight, go further research, guess what? It's going to include information that has any emails associated with a person, phone numbers, social media, criminal history, including sex offender registration, property records, divorce records. In today's world, people are meeting online. Why would you go and meet anyone without checking them out through a background subscription service? Go to crimetalksearch.com. You'll be absolutely happy that you did. Next on the docket, Kyle Rittenhouse. His attorneys want to fight extradition. Now, we've brought you several stories on this, and the other day, we had a lot of new video that had come out related to the Kyle Rittenhouse matter, but I think a lot of the significance of that story didn't get fully viewed as it probably should have just because of all the news related to Breonna Taylor. There's some significant facts in that video that may, I'm not saying it's going to, may have some impact on the charges in that particular case. Maybe Mr. Rittenhouse does in fact have legitimate claims of self-defense. We may put that video up, but we can certainly put a link to it as well, but maybe we'll break that out just so we can show you. Today, Mr. Rittenhouse appeared from a juvenile detention center in sitting obviously in jailhouse garb for a hearing regarding his extradition. Now, his attorneys said they plan to fight extradition to Wisconsin and they asked for more time to review evidence and the extradition paperwork. The court stated that they were going to challenge the extradition by writ of habeas corpus. Now, that's a little unusual. Normally, when there's an extradition hearing, there is a warrant for somebody, and the person can say, hey, there's a warrant for me, so let me give you an example. This is a little bit unusual, so let me give you an example. Normally, let's say if somebody has a warrant, say from Colorado, and they get arrested on that warrant in California. When they show up for court in California, the judge will advise them that there is a warrant for their arrest that's holding them, and they want to take you back to Colorado. The judge will say, will you go voluntarily? Sometimes the defendant will say, sure, why not? Just send me back. That's me. Let's get this resolved. Other times they can say, no, get a governor's warrant. So normally there's about a 30-day span, and this big fancy governor's warrant comes, and it's got all the fancy seals and stuff, and it says, yes, I'm the governor of the state of Colorado. We want the state of California to bring people back. So the governor in California puts out his big piece of paper, and he puts seals and ribbons on it, and he says, we're going to send you back because we're governors and we have to get along. Well, you can also fight extradition. But when you're fighting extradition, you are usually alleging that it's the wrong person. I'm not the John Q. Public that's wanted on the warrant. I may have the same name, but that's not me. I have a different date of birth. So you challenge that. So they really have to prove identity, that they have the right person. So to challenge it and say, we're going to file a writ of habeas corpus, is a little unusual. Not going to be shy about saying, I've never seen that before. Now, normally when you file a writ of habeas corpus, you have to have exhausted all your other remedies, which he hasn't done, to go to federal court and say that you are being held illegally. You don't get to argue the merits of the case at the extradition hearing. That's not the appropriate jurisdiction for that to take place in. It is to take place in the state where the charges have in fact been filed. Now, the next hearing was set for Mr. Rittenhouse on October 9th, and the court did grant him permission to meet with his attorneys so that they can review the large amount of video evidence that has been made available, as well as what the attorneys for Mr. Rittenhouse have been able to acquire. I think this case is going to get very interesting. I'm not sure of this unique habeas thing, but let's wait and see where it goes. All right, next on the docket, the Work Man Cave. But is it really illegal? You may have heard about this case, but three railroad workers have been suspended after a man cave was found under New York's Grand Central Terminal. Now, you have to wonder how these employees were able to do this when they were busy working. Well, apparently they have created a man cave complete with a flat screen television, a beer stocked refrigerator, and it was all in a storage room beneath Grand Central Terminal in New York. The air-conditioned room came complete with a microwave, workout equipment, a hideaway bed, as well as many other amenities to make the workday just a little more comfortable. The authorities were tipped off to the existence by an anonymous tip about a spot where the Metro North employees hang out and get drunk and, well, have a good time partying. When investigators questioned employees about the room, they told the investigators that it contained sensitive supplies. Specifically, they said it was being used to store locksmith supplies. But when they got inside, they found the wooden boxes used to disguise the futon and flat-screen TV and personal items linked to three Metro employees, a wireman, a carpenter, foreman, and an electrical foreman. Good initiative, poor judgment, gentlemen. You should have created a man cave at home. I know. What are you going to do? Maybe you have a man cave at home, but to have one at work, like, shouldn't you be working? Probably not a whole lot of criminal activity here unless there was some sort of falsification as it relates to being paid in overtime or something along those lines, but they should probably be fired. Now, since they're public servants, that ought to take, what, 2, 3, 4 years at the most? Well, and when these guys aren't given any responsibility, but they'll be paid, at least they can go back to their man cave and enjoy the creature comforts of the man cave while they're waiting to be fired. God bless America. Next on the docket, an update on a case that we brought you a couple weeks ago. A missing pregnant woman was found deceased in Washington State, and her ex-boyfriend, shockingly, has been arrested. Of course, we'll give him the presumption of innocence. Cassandra Cantrell was reported missing by her family on August 27th, 2020, after she had not been seen or heard from in days. She was pregnant and she missed a doctor's appointment. The day after that she was reported missing, police found her car abandoned near the Tacoma Dome Arena. The Sheriff's Department served several warrants during the search for Cantrell and found multiple sources of surveillance video showing a person of interest walking from Cassandra Cantrell's abandoned vehicle to a nearby parking garage. The detectives were able to run the license plates on the truck seen in the video, and the person of interest was in fact identified as Colin Dudley, Cantrell's ex-boyfriend. The police were also able to get GPS data when they were served warrants on the seizure and search of his truck, and some of that data puts Mr. Dudley in the area where human remains had been found. Apparently, the search team had to use some very high-angle ropes due to the steep terrain to recover the remains of Miss Cantrell. The remains were being analyzed, but no word as to the official cause and manner of death. We'll continue to follow this case, and it never ceases to amaze me how many cases where somebody winds up deceased like this, and it is the angry ex-boyfriend or angry ex-husband. It's just ridiculous. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to go out and harm somebody. If they don't want to be in a relationship, it's over. Walk away. Let it go. Why would you think that this would be the way to allegedly solve the situation? It's just so frustrating to see day after day after day. All right, aficionados, we have another sponsor here. All right. And let me tell you, we all know somebody that participated in the Boy Scouts. I did, long time ago. But did you know that the Boy Scouts of America have actually filed for bankruptcy protection? That's right. They had to do that because of all of the lawsuits and claims against them relating to the inappropriate supervision of some of the children in their charge. Well, as a result of that, $1 billion fund has been set up for the handling of all of these claims. Now, you can make a claim even if it was never reported to anyone, the police or the Boy Scouts of America at this time. And any of these claims can include if there was verbal abuse, inappropriate touching, derogatory sexual or racial comments, unnecessary photography, and verbal and physical threats. Go to crimetalkbsa.com and you can make a claim. It's completely anonymous, and someone who's handling these matters will contact you. If you've never made a report, but I have seen over the years the traumatic effect where someone has had something inappropriate done to them and they just can't get over it. Well, the best way to do that is to be able to get the therapy and treatment you need. And the best way to do that is to have the appropriate people responsible for that take care of it. Go to crimetalkbsa.com and make a claim. Next on the docket, you don't like the court's sentence? What's the logical thing to do? Run! Just kidding. That's right. Take a look at this guy. Nicholas Garrison, 34, was being sentenced Tuesday in court for aggravated possession of methamphetamine. Well, Mr. Garrison was going to have nothing to do with this particular sentence. Apparently, he thought he'd get probation. The court thought otherwise. That's right. So the judge imposed a six-month sentence plus an additional 530 days for a parole violation. Yes, tally that up, ladies and gentlemen. That's like 2 years. Apparently, it was not a convenient day for Mr. Garrison. And take a look at this. He ran. Wait for it. All right. Boom. There he goes. There he goes. He's going. And there, watch the dive. Here it goes. The police officer. Boom. Ow. That police officer dives for him, lands on his back, and goes down the flight of stairs. And then you can see the other officer slowly going down the stairs, which are a lot of the officers that get courtroom duty. Now, Mr. Garrison, bad, bad choice. Consciousness of guilt. And do you really think you're going to get a lower sentence because you ran? I don't think so. Nice footwork there. Now, Mr. Garrison is still on the loose. If anybody has any idea where he might be, you can contact the Highland County Sheriff's Office at 937-393-1421. Run, Garrison, run! Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day, and then a quick recap of our contestants this week. Please meet the man who is obviously given the presumption of innocence until and if he is found guilty in a court of law. But Mr. Eric Hughes, come on down. You are the next contestant on the dumb criminal contestant of the day. That's right. Apparently, according to police, Mr. Hughes has been selling drugs, but advertising in social media that he had drugs for sale. So Mr. Hughes was advertising on social media that he had drugs. So what's the logical thing for police to do? Hey, let's try and meet Mr. Hughes, which they did. He told the undercover officers that he did have marijuana, and they went up to the car. He allegedly handed a bag containing several smaller bags of marijuana, whereupon they also were able to find that he had some ecstasy pills. And wait, there's more, a handgun. That's right. So instead of just a little marijuana and maybe a couple of pills, now it's really complicated by the fact that he has a gun, because guns complicate everything, particularly when it comes to drugs. And that's what he's charged for. Now, once had a client that liked to do his drug deals via Venmo, that's right, would have his clients Venmo him the money, which is a problem when the people are confidential informants and undercover police officers who are Venmoing you money. It doesn't look good, particularly when they put in a description, oxy pills. Not smart. But Mr. Hughes, you are right up there. All right. Now, once again, we have lots of tough competition. And you wonder, when will it ever stop? Are we ever going to not be able to have the dumb criminal contestant of the day? I don't think so, ladies and gentlemen. Well, let's talk about who the contestants are. Well, who can forget? That's right, Justin. He's the man that liked to put the small caliber firearm up his ass, and it was found when they did the search. That's right. And how about Walter and Lee? These are the gentlemen who like to put that road light pole on the top of their car so they could go sell it for scrap. Then we have Susan Miller, the 71-year-old woman who's going to assault other people in her apartment complex if they are not wearing a mask on the elevator. And who could forget Mr. Kaczynski, who was a little stressed out when the cops came and took 4 bags of heroin, which ultimately led for him trying to escape from the ambulance. Tough, tough contenders. And you throw in Mr. Hughes today. Who is our dumb criminal contestant of the week? Leave me a comment below. Let me know. We'll tally those up and we'll have the winner for you on Monday. Whomever is the winner of the Dumb Criminal Contestant of the Week will receive a Crime Talk mug. No cost to them. We're going to mail to them if we can't find them. That's right. We're going to crimetalksearch.com, typing in that name and tracking them down. Now, always remember and never forget that if you would like to have some Crime Talk merch, and there's a lot of new stuff that's been put up, you don't have to become a dumb criminal. That's right. Be smart about it. Just go to the link below. It'll take you right to our store there on Teespring. And guess what? You can click what you want. They'll ship it out to you. You'll have it in no time. Then you can send us a photograph of you drinking from your Crime Talk mug or wearing your Crime Talk gear. And we'll put it up on our Instagram and Facebook for our mugshot section. Don't forget to do that, ladies and gentlemen. Send us your pics with your merch. I know it was kind of an abbreviated week simply because I had a bunch of lawyer stuff to do. I assure you, this is sometimes much more fun than doing real lawyer stuff. So it's got to be real important if I couldn't get to it or be as thorough as I would like. Have a great day. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.